Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
For the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, Paul's epistle to the Galatians was, well, pivotal. It was huge. It was formative to his theology. He even wrote a commentary on that book that is simply known as the Great Galatians. So we know that Martin Luther took the book of Galatians very seriously. Did he take all of it seriously? He seems to have modeled his preaching after Paul's book of Galatians as well, but he talks in there about Christian freedom. Is Christian freedom, as Paul teaches it in Galatians, a replacement for God's law? Why does a Christian who's been justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone still need the exhortation, the admonition, and the teaching of God's law? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about Galatians and Christian preaching. Joining us to do so, Pastor Mark Serberg. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois. He's author of a column for the October issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith Working Through Love. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How did the 16th century reformer Martin Luther see Paul's letter to the Galatians as a model for Christian preaching?
Well, it's really striking in his Galatians commentary as he arrives at the beginning of chapter 5, and he just comes out and says that the apostle has admonished the Christians seriously, and now after they've accepted the pure doctrine about faith, now he's going to admonish them about practicing genuine works as well. And he actually then went on to say that this is why faithful preachers must exert themselves as much in urging love that is unfeigned or in urging truly good works as in teaching the true faith. So he saw this move that Paul has from proclaiming the gospel that salvation is by faith apart from works, but being followed then by this exhortation to live the life of faith and to live in love as being a model for what we should continue to have in our church today.
Galatians, of course, is best known for Paul's argument against salvation by works. How would you describe that part of Paul's argument?
Well, it is in 2:16, he sort of sets forth the thesis that, you know, we're justified by works of the law. No, we're not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And then his argument runs that it's always been on the basis of faith. That's always been God's plan. That's what he does at the beginning of chapter 3 in talking about Abraham. And then in chapter 3, he sort of also identifies, number one, this has always been God's will, and number two, why can't it be through works of the law, through doing the law? It's because simply that we can't do them, and in fact, instead, they will put us under a curse, that God has provided the answer to that curse by Christ dying on the cross for our sins and rising from the dead, and that now through faith, and faith understood as simply receiving this gift, believing in Christ, we receive justification, and therefore, it can't be about works of the law. And in fact, he'll tell people, the Galatians at the beginning of chapter 5, that if you want to do the law, then you have to do the whole law. And all it's going to do is cut you off from Christ. So it's Christ and faith in Christ alone, or it's works, and it's going to be works alone. And so therefore, for the Christian, it can only be faith in Christ, which is a matter of God's grace.
Does the Apostle Paul stop there?
No, he doesn't. And that's the really kind of remarkable thing, is that he spends 4 chapters just, you know, hammering away on this topic from several different angles. And yet, when he reaches chapter 5, after saying that you've been set free, for freedom Christ has set us free, then he turns around and says, but we shouldn't use this freedom as a pretext for the flesh, the sinful nature, to be at work. And instead, that faith is to be active through love. And in the next 2 chapters, that becomes the focus of it. So he's sort of having totally annihilated the view of that somehow we are justified by works. He then turns around and talks about how, you know, faith is active and working.
How does Paul describe Christian freedom in Galatians?
Well, the freedom in Galatians is specifically from works of the law as a means by which I am justified before God. So that is the slavery that I've been freed from. But it's not a freedom for sin. So that's, of course, in chapters 5 and 6, what he wants to emphasize is that this does not mean now I'm free to do it whatever I want, but instead faith is active in love. And Paul could even then, in chapter 5, verse 14, describe the whole law as being fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so he will turn around and say that faith acting in love is actually the fulfilling of the law, but of course this is faith that has been generated by the gospel.
Is Christian freedom, as Paul teaches it there in Galatians, a replacement for God's law?
No, not in any way, because the life that's now going to be lived by faith, as he describes the fruit of the Spirit, are all those things that which throughout Scripture are described as being the way that, you know, the Christian life is supposed to be lived according to God's ordering of the law. So he doesn't in any way set this freedom as opposed to or being different from the law of God. It's simply, it is freedom from trying to be saved by what you do to now freedom to live in faith in ways that reflect God's will, but that being produced by the work of the Spirit and in a response to the gospel.
So talk us through very briefly the classic three uses of the laws that are presented in the Lutheran confessions. And then, if you would, why has the biblical teaching of that third use of the law fallen out of favor with some Lutherans?
Well, within the Book of Concord, especially the Formula of Concord, we define the first use of the law as being the fact that it maintains this external discipline against the unbelieving, the disobedient. So it is basically, in a sinful world, the law is there to restrain the evil that would otherwise go on. And then the second law is the fact that the law brings the Christian to the recognition of their sins. And of course, we classically often describe this as the mirror, that it shows me who I really am when compared to God's law, that I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness, and that it works repentance. And then the third use of the law is the fact that this law still has a way that the Spirit is going to use it, that I need to continue to hear this law, and that it's not only going to be showing me my sin, but that the Spirit is going to use this law against the old Adam to repress, to restrain, to instruct the old Adam in ways that will assist me in living the Christian life produced by faith that God wants to see. The genesis of this sort of breakdown in our understanding of the third use of the law really goes back to the 20th century and a basic attitude of sort of a negative view towards the law in general. So whether you want to talk about Werner Ehlert, who talked about the law really purely in its accusing value and action. And of course, we do say in the confessions that the law always accuses, but sort of summarizing everything that the law has to do as only being accusing, or whether you want to talk about Gerhard Schurde and his rejection of what he calls the legal scheme, the very idea that there would be a law and ordering according to which all of our lives would be judged. There's been a rejection of the very idea of the law as being a good thing, specifically the eternal will of God that is now reflected in his ordering of creation. And once you've rejected that idea, then the very idea that the law can still be used by the Spirit in an accusatory way, because it's always directed against the old Adam, but in a way that is intended to cause us as Christians to live according to this eternal will of God and this ordering of creation, that's something that has been largely rejected by large parts of, you know, modern-day Lutheranism.
Mark Serwig is our guest. We're talking about Galatians and Christian preaching. When we come back, more into that distinction between the law always accuses and its garbled form, the law only accuses. What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Galatians and Christian preaching. Pastor Mark Serberg is our guest. Mark, before the break, you were talking about this rejection of the position of both Scripture and the Lutheran confessions on the third use of the law that arose in the 20th century. If you would, talk about this distinction between what the Bible actually teaches, that the law always accuses, and its garbled, I think, ill-conceived version, which is the law only accuses.
Well, it's this understanding that to say the law always accuses would be to understand it only operating in that second use of the law, that the accusation is never doing anything except showing me my sin. And that's to fail to understand that while, yes, the law does always accuse, the Spirit is not always using that accusation to do only one thing. The Spirit is not only using that to reveal my sin and bring about repentance. The Spirit is also using that law to repress the old man, to coerce the old man, to teach the old man in the sense of, you know, he doesn't want to do certain things, and the Spirit says, yes, you must do these things. And so it is accusing, but it's not only doing one thing as it accuses. And so it is setting forth the way the Spirit is at work using that law in order to bring about different results. And because as sinners, we're very complex creatures, the Spirit may in fact be doing more than one thing at the same time. But we recognize to narrow the focus to accusing, meaning only showing me my sin, and that bringing me to repentance, is to lose sight of the fact that this law itself is a good thing and that the Spirit can use the accusation of the law for other purposes as well, other effects. And that's what we mean by the use of the law, it's the effects it has on the person. And that included among those effects are to coerce, to force the old Adam to live in ways that reflect God's will. And in doing so, to help the new man in Christ, who, of course, rejoices in this law. So as new man, the law doesn't only accuse. It's something that actually I rejoice in. You know, I see this and say, yes, that's what I want to do, because that's what the Spirit of God is work at in me, to bring about that recognition and living in Christ. That is what I want to do. Of course, I'm old Adam and new man at the same time. And so because of that struggle, that's why we need to continue to hear the law, not simply as a word that accuses me and shows me my ongoing need for repentance, but also as that word that the Spirit continues to use in accusing the old Adam to repress and restrain him and instruct him, so that the new man in this struggle gets the upper hand, the new man that is produced by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, made possible through the Spirit, and so that that new man actually ends up guiding what I actually do, the actual actions that I carry out in the world.
So go into a little more detail, if you would, Mark. Why does the Christian, justified by grace through faith in Christ alone, still need the exhortation of the law, the admonition of the law, and in fact, the instruction of God's law?
Well, that's what Paul sets forth in Galatians 5 when he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So he sets forth first that if you walk by the Spirit, in Greek, it's the very strongest negative you can have. You will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. But then he explains in verse 17 why he needs to even make that statement in the first place. And as he says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so it's the recognition that in Christ, through the work of the Spirit, I am new man, and that new man by nature, because I've been recreated, I'm a new creation in Christ, wants to live according to God's will. But I'm not only new man yet, and as I live in this now and the not yet, waiting for Christ's return, that the old man, the flesh, as Paul describes it, is still present. And the flesh, the old man, is doing everything it can to fight against doing God's will. So that's the reason why I'm going to need to continue to have the Spirit apply the law to me as old Adam, that same law the new man rejoices in, so that ultimately, you know, in this struggle that we experience between the old man and the new man, that the new man led by the Spirit then can actually guide and produce the way we live. And it's the same basic thing that Paul expresses in Romans 7, this basic understanding that although in Christ we are a new creation, we are justified, we still have this remnant of sin, this fallenness that is still hanging onto us, and that, you know, we need to continue to battle against it. So Paul can say in Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires, that there's this need to continue to put to death the old Adam that's there, because as long as we're alive, the flesh, the old Adam, is still there trying to prevent us from living in ways that reflect God's will.
What is the distinction that Paul makes in the epistle to the Galatians between works of the law and the works or the fruit of the Spirit?
Well, for him, the works of the law, earlier in the epistle, is simply doing the law in order to be justified. I mean, that's the basic definition. Now, within Galatians itself, the issues that sort of are the focus are circumcision, food laws, and various Jewish days of observation, religious days. But Paul sees this, of course, as part of the larger whole, the laws itself, the doing works of the law in order to be justified. Of course, he'll say in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh, which is, what does the sinful nature produce? Well, it produces all of those evil things that are contrary to the will of God. And then, as you said, the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Spirit creates in us, causes us to do as we live in faith in Christ. And by nature, as the new man, this is what we want to do. But of course, as Paul expresses, we're not only living by the Spirit, we're also still battling the flesh. And that's why that law needs to continue to be addressed to us.
Finally, how do you respond to the concern that if preachers actually preached the way that Paul does in Galatians, or Martin Luther, we mentioned him before, did throughout his life, we will somehow leave people with the law and therefore with the belief that they could be saved by their works?
Well, it's simply that we need to, in doing so, follow the same model as Paul and Luther. So if you look at Paul spends four chapters of Galatians focusing on the gospel, emphasizing the fact that we are justified by faith alone and not by works, before he ever turns to talking about that now faith is active in love. As we say, the gospel must predominate. So for us, just as it was for Luther, that's the central teaching, that's the touchstone of everything we do. And in turn, the means of grace by which that gospel is delivered to us through the word, through baptism, through absolution, through the sacrament of the altar, that is the focus and foundation of everything we do. If that's the foundation of everything you do, then flowing out of that is this life of faith, the recognition that, yes, I want to live in ways that reflects God's will, and yes, I still need to hear this law that is going to repress and attack the old Adam in me. But I will never slip over into the belief that living this life of faith is somehow causing me to be saved or justifying me or those kinds of things, because the ordering and the ratio of the way this is put together simply won't let it happen. That one can never lose sight of that the emphasis has to be on the gospel, because, of course, we are by nature as fallen people, people who are sort of prone to go the way of the law. So we always have to emphasize the gospel as the source of all of this. But if that always remains the first thing and the main thing, then to follow Paul in his example and to follow Luther in his example in his preaching of then going on to talk about, well, now as the life of faith, what does it look like? And this is the description of it. And knowing the Spirit is going to use that law in ways that assists us by battling against the old Adam, that is a good thing, and it's not going to slip into some kind of works righteousness.
Mark Serberg is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Marion, Illinois. He's author of a column in the October issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Faith Working Through Love. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. You can find out more at cph.org/witness. Or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Mark, thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Pastor Peter Bender joins us on the other side of the break for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., live this Thursday afternoon, October the 8th. We'll be continuing our conversation with him on the theology and practice of a Lutheran day school. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.